ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Welcome back in the home studio for another Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Oh, what an episode. What an episode we have for you this week. Now, make sure, by the way, I'm going to get back to uploading stuff to my YouTube channel. Stuff has been a little crazy as of late doing the wrestling podcast and my new morning show on Sirius XM, Jim Norton and Sam Roberts. But there is wrestling-related stuff happening on Jim Norton and Sam Roberts. We've already had the Bella Twins on. We had X-Pac on, although I don't think there's any video from that yet. We had DDP on this week, and that video is all getting uploaded to the Jim Norton and Sam Roberts YouTube page. So if you're a fan of mine, if you want to see what else I'm doing, or if you just want to make sure that you're the first to see when the wrestlers who do my show on Sirius, if you want to be a part of those interviews, if you want to check them out, subscribe at youtube.com/JimAndSamShow. youtube.com/JimAndSamShow. There's a lot of great content going up there all the time. But I've always got time for you. For you, my children. My wrestling podcast children. I'm excited for today's show. I was excited for last week's show. I'm really glad so many of you dug the Lucha Underground Comic Con panel. I'm not the biggest fan in the world of posting panels as interviews, you know, because I think that you guys listen to this podcast for a reason and you listen to the interviews for a reason. But I just was really happy with the way the Lucha Underground panel came out, and I thought there were a lot of takeaways from it. I was happy with the questions I was able to ask, and more importantly, with the answers that I got. That's so many times with these Comic-Con panels, they're fun to see in person. But when you sit down and listen to the audio, because you're just firing questions at a series of guests, it's not personal, right? Like, you don't get to make that connection. So, and so a lot of times you don't necessarily get all the answers that you're looking for. But that wasn't the case with the Lucha Underground one. So I was very happy with that, and I was glad that so many of you liked it. This week on the podcast, I've got a fan of the podcast, who hopefully some of you are also a fan of, Skylar Astin. Is a very famous actor. He's been on a lot of great stuff. He was, right now, he's on a sitcom. Well, it's not a sitcom, I guess. It's a funny show, though. On Epics with Nick Nolte. He was on, last time I talked to him, he was promoting a TBS show he was doing with John C. McGinley, who's an amazing actor. He was best known for Pitch Perfect. You know, the a cappella movie. I'm sure most of you have seen that. And a little trivia. You know who else is in the film Pitch Perfect as well as Pitch Perfect 2? Lana, the Ravishing Russian. Yes, Lana is in both those movies. However, Skylar Astin is the star of both those movies. The show, by the way, that he's on, I didn't mention the title on Epics, is called Graves. And if you want to laugh and see Nick Nolte still bring it after all these years, check that show out. But as it turns out, and this goes back to the Sirius XM show, Jim Norton and Sam Roberts, we had Skylar Astin on as a guest. And Skylar reached out to me on Twitter, and he said, "Sam, I'm a big fan of the wrestling podcast. I listen to it." And it kind of blew me away because, you know, I don't only watch wrestling. When I'm not watching wrestling, I watch a lot of movies. I love movies. And some of the movies that I watch are very masculine and manly, and any dude would think they were cool. Casino is probably my favorite movie of all time. Goodfellas, I'll watch over and over and over again. I like horror movies. But guess what? Every now and then, I feel some music in my blood. What's my favorite musical of all time? The best musical of all time, Les Mis. I'm also a Pitch Perfect fan, and I was a fan of the Pitch Perfect movie before I knew Skylar Astin was a fan of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. The reason Skylar Astin is a big fan of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast is because he's a big fan of pro wrestling. And what's the point of doing this show? It's to talk about wrestling with wrestling fans, for wrestling fans. Somehow, even after the way Raw has been the last several weeks, I am still a wrestling fan. I still am somebody who likes wrestling. I'm not a wrestling fan who doesn't like wrestling. There's tons of you out there. I'm a wrestling fan who likes wrestling. And I got to talk to another wrestling fan who likes wrestling. His name is Skylar Astin. I did this interview a few days ago. I was literally texting with Skylar today. And he was sending me his predictions for WrestleMania. That's how deep in he is. He's in deep. I want you to be in deep with me and Skylar, which seems like it could get complicated, but I think if we all are together, we can make it work. Here is my interview with Skylar Astin from Pitch Perfect and various other things.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
I am very pleased to have Skylar Astin in here with me. I didn't even know you were a wrestling fan. I interviewed you once at SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Then, and I guess you definitely weren't listening to the wrestling podcast then, or if you were, you weren't saying anything.
I actually wasn't at that time.
Right.
Because I just came back to the world of WWE.
How long were you gone for?
I was gone for a good amount of CM Punk's run.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, but now I've gone back and I've seen some Hell in the Cells. I've done my due diligence.
Have you watched the Pipe Bomb promo?
Oh, of course.
All the Summer of Punk. That, like, I think that might have been CM Punk's best match. His match with John Cena at that year's Money in the Bank. I think it was 2011.
Mm-hmm. I watched it.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And CM Punk actually is a fan of Pitch Perfect, which is fantastic. He once tweeted at me, and that was like all the more reason to go back and watch all of his matches. And you know, I was rooting for him in his I'm a big UFC fan.
Uh-huh.
I even was asked by the UFC people to make him a little video and like wish him luck. I just think it's amazing that he got in there. I think that's incredibly respectable. Anyone that wants to give him shit is just a troll.
Yeah.
You know, because
it was a bummer.
Yeah.
It was a bummer that he didn't do well. But
well, that's, if you know anything about it, that was what was the most likely thing to happen.
Of course.
It's a Braun Strowman match these days. Just getting chewed alive.
So what brought you back into modern day, or who, I guess, what attracted you back to
there's
it?
There's a guy named Steve Kazee who's a really great actor.
Yes, I know him. I think still is dating Michelle Beadle. Or
yes.
Was when I met him.
Definitely was the last time I saw him.
Yeah,
so yeah. I assume they still are.
Yeah, I saw him at when they did WrestleMania 31 in California.
Yep. I know he was there. I was texting him. So he was like, dude, you got to get back in, man. It's like the Attitude Era. It's really people.
I love how, like, for real a fan, because I remember he was in the front row. He had like a Stone Cold shirt on.
Yeah.
He was just like losing his mind.
Of course. I mean, he live tweets Raw. Like, he live tweets still. So
the best.
He has GIFs. I'm like, how quick are you on this GIF trigger? I'm so impressed. So he told me that kind of planted a seed. I worked with this guy, Steve White, who writes on Black-ish. He wrote on a pilot that I did that never quite made it, but he wrote a wrestling spec script. So he was kind of telling me about, you know, his like idols, Gorilla Monsoon, and I was just like, you know what, let me, you know, for only $9.99 a month, I don't know if you know this.
I have not heard about this. Tell me more.
So I think it was like, I was just alone a lot, and I was just like, let me just like do the free trial. And I love a good wrestling doc.
Yes.
You know?
When they used to, I don't think they're on Netflix anymore, but they used to be on Netflix, exactly. And they were like the best.
And
things.
I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Right.
Montreal Screwjob, great. This
right.
is my world. You know, all the, I watched the whole Monday Night War special thing that they had.
Yeah, like the
mini series, like, or whatever. It's,
I mean,
like 13 episodes.
I think it's even more. I think it's like, it's hardly a mini series.
Yeah. They get quite redundant too. I'm like, wait, did I see this one? Oh no, they're just kind of retelling the story.
Then DX came.
Yeah, you're like, in a tank.
Right.
You know?
It's just in a different context though.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the context of The Undertaker instead of the NWO.
Right. It's like on the Mankind story version. It's like the, you know, the Mick Foley Have a Nice Day episode. But it's like, I heard Scott Hall talking about how he was on the other side of this partition already. free. So I got into that. That was, I was just having a field day with all that. I think I watched everything. And then I started going into like the territory stuff of like the birth of the AWA. And yeah. It got a little like black and white for me. And I just kind of ran out of stuff. And I always was, I was watching everything surrounding wrestling and I just wasn't actually watching it. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Well, that's, I love that because like, for me, part of the attraction is like the whole world and the culture of it.
Sure.
And like, honestly, the world, especially you who's like, you know, dealt with Hollywood, like the world of the wrestling business is just as, if not far more interesting.
Totally.
Than the on-screen product.
Right. So I listen to your interviews. I listen to the Stone Cold podcast. I just love hearing them talk about the road and the business. And,
yeah,
you know, you know what
fast.
I mean? Just like, swig a beer for, you know, Bob Backlund, you know, or something like that. I love it because it's so nostalgic for me. It really taps into that time. I mean, I went to SummerSlam 91. I was at Macho Man's wedding.
We were honestly. Have you ever heard of a comedian named Dan Soder? He's also on the show Billions.
Yep.
I had him on because he's a huge wrestling fan, and I had him on right before SummerSlam. And instead of
I listened to that.
Yeah, and we ended up just talking about SummerSlam 91.
But I think you did. You say it was 92? No,
he
said
it was 92,
and then
I was
you
like,
corrected
no,
him. Yes.
Because you were. I mean, it's incredible that you were at SummerSlam 91.
I sure was. I was like, I'll date my. I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, I was at SummerSlam 92.
Okay.
And I was 9.
I was so
eight.
Young that
no, I was mom, probably I was probably 7 or 8. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a couple years on me, but yeah, you got a baby face still. Though. So when I remember, I was so young. In fact, that like when Macho Man got married, all these pink and white balloons dropped from the rafters. I think it was at the Garden.
It was at the Garden.
Yeah, and all the kids in my section, the older kids, you know, the 8-year-olds and the 11-year-olds, were stomping on the balloons and popping the balloons. And it was
like...
so loud. And I have very sensitive little musician ears. And I was closing. It was like, so I was like, stop popping the balloons because, like, I want to watch this match. Like, you know, and like, I get a little, you know, they were like popping into my ear, just like punks all around me.
Right.
You know, real 90s jerks.
Right, right.
Just villains from Back to the Future.
Bunch of early 90s jerks.
Just calling me a butthead or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so into it then that I had all of the wrestling figurines. I was like obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
My mom would buy them. I mean, I had Hawk and Animal. I had...
I went back and I decided... So I went to shoot at the WWE Network for their like talking head shows, you know?
Cool.
And like... one of it was about merchandise, and they threw me a wrestling buddy. You remember the stuffed?
Yeah. Oh, I had a Hulk and Warrior.
Right. So they threw me one of them, and I was like, "These are the, like they don't even make anything this cool anymore."
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Okay, I know." I had a Hulk, and my brother had a Warrior.
Yeah.
So I call my mom.
I had Hulk, my brother a Warrior. So weird. Anyway.
Yes. I call my mom. Were you the older brother?
No.
He
just loved Warrior. He like went as him for Halloween and stuff.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
I call my mom and I go because she didn't throw out anything.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, "Mom, I got to find the Hogan and Warrior wrestling buddies. I'm coming over. So I need you to find them now."
Yeah.
She's like, "Okay, Sammy."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She went off. She found them. And then it took me a full year.
Okay.
But I made it my mission to go on eBay and flea whatever I could to collect the entire set of 8 wrestling buddies.
There's 8?
There's 8 because they made a series too.
I know they did Macho Man, right? Did Jake the Snake?
Yes.
Right?
They did the first set.
My buddy had her Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Great choice on his
part. Oh, great choice.
Yeah.
The first set was Hogan Warrior, Ted DiBiase, and Macho Man.
Million Dollar Man.
But then they made a second set, which was Jake Roberts.
Okay.
Big Boss Man.
But of course.
And Hawk and Animal.
There you go. Oh, wow. Both of them.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I got all 8 now.
Did they sell them together or separately?
I think separately.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting choice.
Which is like, yeah, I'd love to meet the kid who's like, "Yeah, I picked Animal because he's my favorite." Like, the one?
What a rush.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Nailed it. My crazy story with the figurines. Well, first off, it all really comes back to 1991 because my brother was born. He always, that was the nursery, was his bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And since my parents thought they were done having kids, they turned that nursery into his room. So I got to design the room. So his bed, till this day, I was there 2 days ago for Rosh Hashanah, or we're dating ourselves, so maybe I was
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Right? It's still fairly new. I made his bed into a wrestling ring. He still has turnbuckles.
Oh, my gosh.
The ropes.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a full-size bed. The shelves are barbells. the closets are lockers.
So you were obsessed as a
kid. I was so obsessed that I made it what I would want my room to be.
Right.
So that was where when we had play dates and whatever, and I have, you know, two brothers. So my younger brother is so tough because I was tombstone pile driving off the second row.
Like, do your parents like realize now that people have been paralyzed?
I mean,
from that maneuver?
Yes. It's amazing that I didn't just like give him a Styles Clash, but it's actually amazing that nobody got seriously injured.
Yeah.
We were jumping, flying elbow drops off the top rope. We would see, we would watch Raw and then do the match.
So you're a musician as even as a kid, right?
I played piano, yeah.
So were you like aware of the composing that was going into the theme music? Because like, I'm not a musician,
dude,
but I'm obsessed with them.
At my bar mitzvah, yeah, our giveaways were CDs, and I had a bunch of like random Blink 182 songs or something, but I had the Do You Smell What The Rock. I had that. Do you remember when that CD came out during the Attitude Era?
Like WWF The Music?
Yeah, but yeah, they got the new versions.
Yeah.
It was like
oh, like the remix
things? They did these remixes. Yes. Three of the tracks on my burnt CD that I handed out on my bar mitzvah thing were from the WWE remix album. It was not like the Do You Smell What The Rock. It was like The Rock, Wicca Wicca Rock.
Yeah,
Rock
just the most awful.
Yeah, it was
like
awful. But like, I thought Run DMC did something with DX.
Right.
Degenerate your ex, and you know what's next, or like whatever. The vibration sex coming to your to something. You know what I mean? You know, literally, like
this is cool because it's cool music meets wrestling.
Yeah, Kid Rock doing you know, Kane's walkout or something. It was just a very. I was such a fanboy.
My wedding, which was like either 3 or 4 years ago, I should remember that. But our first, like, I was like, okay, Jess, like, you could pick whatever you want to pick. Like, we'll collaborate. But I was like, this whole thing could be about you.
Sure.
But I'm picking the song for now introducing the new
your entrance
Mr.
song.
And Mrs. Roberts into the reception or whatever. And she goes, okay. And
was
so
it
the,
Austin? Was it the Broken Glass? No.
No, it wasn't even sort of that cool.
Oh, okay.
It was like lame wrestling. It was, but it was to me, it was like the funniest, coolest thing.
I want to like try to guess.
Okay.
But have you said it on air ever?
Probably.
Your listeners are probably like, dude, just say it. We already know. So go ahead.
It's so they go like, no, introducing the new Mr. and Mrs. Roberts.
And all the people are going, Sam Roberts sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Your time is up. My time is done.
Wow.
And I'm doing like, I put my AOKs, my salutes. I'm doing every John Cena hand
gesture.
Do you
have wristbands?
I didn't have wristbands. Okay. No paraphernalia. But I didn't
never give up washcloth?
My wife leans into me. And instead, like, I thought she was going to be like, I didn't know. But she just leans into me and she goes, you didn't teach me any of the hand gestures.
That is, you found your...
That's it.
You found your mate.
Does it get better?
You found your lobster.
Yeah, I did.
Nice, man.
Yeah, I did.
That's when you know you're understood.
Did you let... You got married recently, right?
Yeah.
Was there any wrestling allowed at your wedding?
No, there's no... Well, I think, like, these days with the sports and the UFC stuff, that, like, the wrestling stuff, you know, is just, like, I can't
overload
it. Yeah.
It's too much.
We can't, the wedding was pure.
Yeah.
she knows how much of a nerd I am at home. That's
right.
Plenty. Going back really quickly, because I actually have to tell this story, because I haven't ever told this story. So my dad, when we were younger, would go on a lot of business trips. And sometimes he would take us on those trips, and then we'd get to see a new city. So it was kind of like a half vacation, half dad's always
sure.
on his big Zach Morris cell phone. We went to Toronto, and like I always do, I took my 50-plus... wrestling figures. And my mom would buy them on clearance, like, you know, because they weren't very popular.
Uh-huh.
But I had everyone.
And you had to bring them with you.
Yeah, I did. I had a suitcase for them.
Yeah.
That had, like, it had Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan's, like, cartoon faces on them.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was, like, custom made. I feel like maybe someone gave it to me as a birthday gift.
But it was your money in the bank.
Well, and this predates the Money in the Bank,
of
too.
Course.
So I was very ahead of my time at this point.
Of course.
Traveling internationally, by the way, to Toronto with a suitcase full of wrestling figures.
Has to go through customs.
I believe I have two British Bulldogs in there for no reason. So so my parents always knew that, like, I could keep myself entertained, you know, with that stuff. I mean, there were no iPods or iPads at this time. Mm-hmm. I would just play. I would make all these stipulations and a three-man tag and, you know, all these storylines, just like everyone who plays with action figures.
Right.
So I would always bring all of them, which is crazy. My mom should have been like, maybe bring, like, HBK and, like,
yeah,
you know, Marty Jannetty and just kick him through the glass again or something like that. And,
yeah.
I instead bring all of them,
mm-hmm.
and I play with all of them. And I guess they were doing something, and I was in the hotel room, and I had all of them scattered throughout. And so I used to like to involve every single one. And so now, if you have 30-plus people in a match, what do?
Royal Rumble.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it was some sort of battle royal, maybe not the Royal Rumble. I believe there was this, like, gold tin.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big tin in the room. And so I used that. It was like a little art, you know, like a modern art, like, tin. And I made it into the Ring of Fire.
That's cool.
So, of course, you know, I have Undertaker throwing, you know, Davey Boy Smith over and all this stuff. And, of course, I get all of them into the tin because they all have to lose. One man left standing, and I think I put HBK over that night.
Wow.
I tended to put him over a lot.
Wow.
I
so really did Vince.
Like, yeah. Hey,
so
you
did
know
Vince.
What I mean? I was a company guy.
Right.
I loved, actually, my first screen name was Heartbreak Kid 15 because I...
you know what mine was?
What?
G-Dust 1.
No, man. Yeah. You have the most interesting... Like, yeah. I would never... Like, John Cena, like, I would think you would go a little... We'll talk about that more later.
Sure.
But back to this quick story.
Yes.
Put HBK over.
Right.
I think my parents were like, Skyler, we got to go. We're going to go into town, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I think I actually did like a quick finish. Like, he maybe clotheslined sure. two people over.
Because you can't leave without finishing
the
match. The fans are going to be dissatisfied.
You can't. I mean, it's not. We're not going to have like a dark match.
Right.
So instead, I decide to, you know, and just for organization's sake, I put HBK in the same tin just because now, you know, we're off air and it's not no longer a Ring of Fire.
Now it's the locker room.
Yeah, so now it's literally storage. You know, I'm just keeping all my wrestlers in this tin. And so we go out. We have a whole day in Toronto. I come back. Tin is empty.
No.
And I'm like, Mom, where's my, did you happen to, like, clean up or maybe put it back? My suitcase, empty. My wrestling suitcase, empty. Little 5-year-old, 6-year-old Skyler didn't realize that the gold tin was the trash can.
No! You threw out all your figures?
I threw out all of them.
The whole collection! And you can't just rebuy them all.
They were on clearance. How could you?
Oh,
there's no more Brutus the Barber Beefcakes in production.
Because he doesn't even wrestle for WWF anymore.
Exactly. I
they were all gone! The Ring of Fire burned them all.
Or maybe just the cleaning ladies took out the trash.
Oh, my.
Either way, I had no more figures. I was heartbroken.
Couldn't a cleaning lady be like, there's no way that this kid planned on throwing out his entire collection.
And that's kind of always been my thing looking back. Like, maybe leave it.
Yeah.
Maybe leave a note, but maybe they just think, like, wow, this mother really wants him to kick this figure habit.
Or I got kids at home that like wrestling. They're in the trash can, up for grabs.
Wow, there's a new layer to the story.
I'm a suspicious person.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm not so much of a conspiracy theorist. I was just simply heartbroken, and I didn't understand. It's like that thing.
That's the Toronto screw job.
That totally.
Yeah.
The Toronto trash job. I didn't understand how it could happen. Have you ever, you know, when you like find out that someone dies and you're like, there's no way they're just not around anymore.
Right.
No, like,
I saw him every day.
Yeah, I saw him every day and he was so young.
Right.
You know
he's
what
fine.
I mean? He's like, I
yeah.
Can we just like rewind the tape and do it over? Like,
I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah. He didn't get in that car accident really or whatever that is. It was that moment. For
right.
me. I was like, how do I go back to the time when.
When I had all my figures.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now I got nothing.
You have to start from scratch.
Yeah, and my sweet mother was just like, not only did her and my father, a stand-up mensch, literally went through, like, dumpsters to try
really?
To find. Yeah.
You had supportive parents.
They are very sweet. I don't know if I saw them going through the dumpsters. I think they said they did. But
okay.
I think they probably did a version. Maybe they asked someone to check the dumpsters.
They said,
which,
look,
by the way, is...
Your cleaning lady threw out stuff she wasn't,
exactly.
You know, we didn't know, could you?
But, like, I dare you in a Marriott in Toronto with, you know, 40 floors or whatever it is to try to recover trash from a room.
So is this the moment that, like, you stop collecting wrestling toys or do you try to rebuild? Rebuild, redesign, reclaim.
My wrestling figures. Yeah, no, I started it. Never really got to where it was. I passed them on to my brother. I think at this time, you know, over the next year or two, I guess I just had a couple singles matches. I really refined my storytelling on the singles matches.
Yeah.
I obviously got an HBK back. I obviously got, like, Hulk.
But you couldn't go Battle Royal heavy anymore.
Not really.
No.
Unless if you're doing, like, an Elimination Chamber situation.
Where it's, like, eight guys or
something.
I'll figure it out.
But that was still before the Elimination Chamber. So it was something the WCW did.
War Games.
Yeah, War Games.
Yeah.
That I could have done with, like, Arn Anderson. Like, yeah. Stone Cold before he was Stone Cold.
Stunning Steve.
Stunning Steve.
Yeah.
Fresh blonde cut.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys were yoked.
Oh, yeah.
And tan. That entrance, when they come into that War Games, it's mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, and Sid Vicious is like Jeez. With them just looking
was
massive.
Kurt Hennig there?
No, because he would have been Mr. You would have seen
Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect,
now
which you got
perfect.
To see live at SummerSlam 91 with Bret Hart.
Sure did.
One of the best matches of all time.
Yep. I don't even think I could have appreciated those matches.
At six, I don't think so.
But I would love to watch that. Well, thank God that I got that.
$9.99.
I could watch it.
So who brought you back into wrestling now? Like, what wrestler, what storyline? Like, how do you go, like, you know what? You know, I like, you know, I got the history.
Okay.
I'm watching the docs. But
WrestleMania,
like,
San Francisco.
31.
Seth Rollins. I go, who is this guy?
I said it recently on the podcast. I said he's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the guy. He's the best.
He reminds me of Sean in ways.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a lot of people. But he's got it. I believe him.
Yes.
It's real to him, damn it.
Yeah. He does promos, character, his matches, everything. Yeah. Everything.
It's awesome when you know you have the WrestleMania moment, when you know it's coming. Like, he must have known in the back, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go over, you know.
Yeah.
But when it really happens and you actually get those chills, I really got them when he was standing up there on the apron with the, not the apron, but you know.
Yeah, the stage.
It,
that
famous shot. Holding it with both of his arms, I was like, this guy.
Especially since that was a WrestleMania that, like, wrestling fans came in with such low expectations.
Yeah.
Because everybody was hated Roman Reigns.
Exactly.
And they were like, Brock Lesnar, whatever. So when it just goes, da-da-da-da, and you're like,
and he came sprinting down the down a football field length of a ramp, which really added to the drama.
Yeah.
He came out full clip, slid in there. I, at this point, was really watching, like, I don't really know any of these people. Like, I was watching the Andre the Giant, like, pre-show.
Memorial
thing. I was like, wow, wrestling's interesting. Oh, the Goldust is still around. Like, I really was getting back into it. I'm freshly, you know, back into it. The New Day was, like, over-ish at this point.
They were just kind of starting.
Yeah. But man, I was like, this guy's amazing. And I had like a jaw-dropping moment like I was a kid. Like, I really wasn't expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't internal yet enough to know that that was a big possibility. That, you know, I saw him with the match with Randy Orton. It's like, yeah, he's done.
And he lost.
He lost, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what was the pay-per-view recently where he came back with Roman?
That was when he surprised him.
It was after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was there.
What's the pay-per-view?
I wish I remembered the name. It was in
all of your fans just hate it.
They're yelling at him right now.
Idiot! Idiot! So,
yeah, I think it was in Jersey.
Yeah, another time where he came out though, I like was like, holy shit! Like he provokes an actual response from me. I'm like, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's got this face turn. I thought it was going to happen right away,
mm-hmm.
right after the injury. I was like, he's coming back as a face.
Because it was almost like, how do you do it?
Right. Because he can't come
so
back.
So happy to have him back.
And then they do that amazing documentary.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I'm so on board with this
I feel
guy.
Like that's the documentary you watch and you come, and you're like, oh my God, he's my favorite wrestler.
I just realized he's my favorite wrestler. Also, my mentor and like my favorite person. Like,
yeah.
I want to have work ethic like that.
Right.
Like, I guess I can go to my physical therapy for my own knee now.
Yeah.
He has totally that it factor. And you know, I'm glad, like, when he came back, he's like, you know, you guys were nothing without me, doing the whole heel stuff again. I was like, why are they doing that with him?
Right.
And now they're organically turning him.
And it's kind of nice. It's kind of beautiful.
It's meant to happen.
Yeah.
Who's he in a feud with right now?
Owens.
Exactly.
KO.
Who, by the way, KO's doing it all, too.
Yeah. And by the way, like, the Jericho stuff is amazing.
It's incredible. Do you remember when The Rock... was holding the title, and then he did the Rock and Sock connection.
Yes.
Obviously.
You're right. That's actually
great. It's something like that, because for me, I'm like, look at him. He's got a strap on his shoulder, yet he's doing comedy bits with Jericho, and they're amazing.
They're working.
And they're riffing with the New Day. You could tell all of those guys get along.
Yeah.
Because
they're having fun.
From a pure improv comedy perspective, they are nailing it.
Yes.
There was a segment a couple Raws back where Jericho's like, and you're on the list. Like, putting you on the list. And Kevin Owens was, you know, you could tell that they were going off script with a lot of stuff, and they were all just really in a great, like, comic. It was a great segment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've been absolutely crushing it. You said right before we started recording that you had a Brock Lesnar story.
I do. I've told it once before. Uh-huh. I hope there's not too much crossover with where I've said it before. I said it on a UFC podcast once.
Okay.
So, but by the way, it might be better the second time. I was at UFC 194, I want to say, at the Staples Center. It was Ronda Rousey fought Kat Zingano, and it was supposed to be Chris Weidman versus Luke Rockhold, but Chris got injured, and Chris is a buddy of mine. So Chris was with, Chris and I went together, which was cool because Chris still had the belt, and like, he was like leaving the belt in my car. We had like the best weekend.
It's awesome.
My brother's a diehard fan,
and
we really like always. You know, we're pretty internal now because Dana White happens to really like Pitch Perfect, which is so weird,
isn't it? So like the carryover that movie has.
It's really well because Dana, this doesn't apply to, but like a lot of the people like Anthony Pettis, Demetrius Johnson, people that have come up to me and now I've become buddies. It was always like, dude, I watched it with my daughter, or I watched it with my wife, and they love it, and I. Matt Serra will be like, dude, I was forced to watch it, but I love it now.
That's what
and
I mean.
Now I watch it every time it's on HBO.
My wife was like, we got to watch this movie. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. It seems like a karaoke movie. It seems stupid. And then I was like, no, I'll buy that movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. No, then, we should definitely see the sequel. Yeah,
yeah,
we're going.
And then guys always do the same thing as if it's the first time I've heard it, where they're like, dude, I'm a dude. Or I'm going to say this. I'm like, I know where you're going to say. You're going to say you actually like the movie, which... I get it, like, coming from your perspective. Like, I would like that, too. Like, I loved Bridesmaids when it came out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It has that kind of a thing. It's funny. It's comedy first. It's not just a sing-songy musical.
Plus, it's one of those, and we'll get back to wrestling.
Yeah.
But Pitch Perfect, and the sequel, too, they're like, there's not that many movies anymore. It feels like movies that we grew up on.
Sure.
That were, like, kind of the comedy / coming of age. / whatever,
the
like
John Hughes. Kind
John
of.
Hughes.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's not a ton like that anymore.
Right.
But go back to this Brock Lesnar story.
The Brock story. So this was a time where Brock's contract was up with the WWE, and it wasn't when he most recently went back for 200. It was before that. A lot of people. There was in the news. He and Vince McMahon had a big blowout, and it didn't look like he was going to renegotiate. So, of course, he showed up in a 3-piece suit at a UFC event.
Sure.
At the Staples Center. And I was there, and it was pretty cool to see Brock Lesnar. And since I know Dana, and since I know Chris, and I know a bunch of the fighters, I have that access to go backstage and be in the tunnels and all that cool stuff and sit in the cool section with all the fighters. So Chris was whisked away to do a bunch of media, and... you know, I'm just like looking at Brock Lesnar like, I can't believe how large that man is.
Huge.
He is a beast. I can't believe you had the balls to say, what's the haps?
That was like one of those sort of like, look, either I'm going to do this and it'll be a home run and I might get my jaw broken, but that's okay. Or I chicken out. But it's like, I'm not going to get the opportunity again.
Yeah. You nailed it.
So you have to.
You nailed it. It was genuinely awkward. Paul Heyman is just looking at you like, you're a dumbass.
Because Paul knew that was my thing.
Right.
I've done it to Paul a million times. So I think Paul probably didn't think that I would have the balls to do it. Especially when he goes, you have two questions.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, Paul. Brock, what's the haps? Like, throw my first one out.
Now, I don't know Paul on a personal level.
Uh-huh.
But... underneath that, is he like loving it?
Loving
okay,
it.
Good.
Loving it.
Good. Yeah. I was wondering if he
Brock, I don't know.
Yeah.
Paul is loving it.
Good.
Yes.
I'm so happy to hear that. Yes. That makes me love him even more.
He's the greatest.
Yes. Okay. So, I'm in this section. It's my brother, Uriah Faber, TJ Dillashaw, when they were buddies, which they're not now. They were still on the same team at that point. And we had dinner with them. So, you know, when you're immersed in that world, a lot of fighters that I've ever met are like the nicest, most humble people ever.
Same thing with wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're like so honored when you know them. And yeah. They love the fans. And, you know, Milan, my brother, feels very comfortable going up to everyone and just being like, dude, Jeremy Stevens, I saw your knock. He'll like go to the people on the undercard even and the people will be like, oh, my God, he's a real hype man.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of gets into that attitude when he's there. And it's just fun. It's a great event. Brock Lesnar sitting two rows in front of us. Humongous. People are coming up to him and gently going like, hey, you know, Uriah went up to him and was like, hey, buddy, hey, we'd love to see you back in the UFC, man, if you ever. It was definitely a huge elephant or a huge Brock Lesnar in the room.
Right. Sure.
And basically my brother, who had had a couple to drink aggressively, but also with such good intentions, as my brother always does, goes, Brock! You gotta come back, dude. You gotta come back. And they're looking straight, like dead away, like dead on. Brock Lesnar beat Red, not because he's embarrassed, because he's enraged. Looks at my brother and goes, "Sit the fuck down. Shut the fuck up and look at the ground. Look at the ground." And my brother just like shrivels. And his poor my brother's girlfriend who was with us. Was like, you know,
you should look at the ground.
Like I think almost in tears. Like it was scary, but I knew nothing's gonna happen. I don't know why. Maybe I was in that current place with my drinks that I had, where I was like, nothing's gonna happen.
So good, bro.
Yeah, like you'll be fine. But because you know, like he's not gonna punch you. We'll own the Brock Lesnar ranch if he does.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for the surgery you might have to get on your jaw, but like
it's a big ranch though.
It's a big ranch. Yeah. And like there's a lot of cattle, and we could like kind of sustain ourselves.
I think you might even get Sable there with that deal.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm literally like, it's fine, dude. But like, but it is weird because Brock keeps looking back at my brother. Like he keeps checking him. I think it pissed him the fuck off.
Yeah.
Also, you got TJ Dillashaw and Uriah sitting in the row in front of us, so they're in between us, but they're not going to do anything. They're bantamweights. But they're also looking at my brother and messing with him, going, dude, he's going to kill you, man. Because they know nothing will ever happen at a UFC event.
Right.
Especially in that section. In Dana's section, that would be such front page news in a bad way for Brock in this sensitive time for him. So I thought it was like, and now I've watched, you know, since that point I've gotten back into wrestling, I've seen kind of who he is, I've seen him in interviews, and I've seen how he is with the UFC, and I've heard more stories about him internally, and I'm just like, oh, he really like was, because I was like, is it that thing where he's so used to being a heel and saying F you to the fans? I was like, no, I think he really flipped the switch.
I've had two interactions with him. The second one everybody's seen, and that's the, you know, what's the Haps video.
Sure.
And yeah, he is, there was no like, let's all, you know,
there's no levity.
No, and there's no, you know, elbow,
right,
rib, once I'm done shooting, it's like, we gotta go. Like, my wife is filming on her iPhone, and I'm, because I didn't know I was gonna do it,
right,
and I'm doing audio on my iPhone, and like, he says, now get the fuck out of here, and I'm like, Jess, we're out of here, you know what I mean? We're leaving.
And it's not like you, like, press record and goes, hey, that was fun, man.
No, yeah, no, none of that.
That
was it. The end of the tape is the end of the interaction.
Must be exhausting to live life like that.
The first time he came in, it's when I was working with Opie and Anthony, and he came in to promote his book, and he sat in and did an interview. And I used to carry around, I don't do it anymore because I feel like it'd be awkward now. I kind of want to still, but I just feel like it'd be weird. I used to carry around a steel chair and have every wrestler I could get to sign. I have three of them. Three steel chairs that are just full of wrestler signatures.
Fantastic.
And I was like, I'm going to get Brock Lesnar to sign my chair. He would never sign. And so at the end of their interview, and he was fine, I'm like, Brock, would you mind signing the chair? Luckily, he had enjoyed the interview.
Okay.
Because he looks at me, he goes, you got to be fucking kidding me. And I was like, no, I just thought. And he picked up the chair like he was going to hit me with it. Like, he was just like, ugh. And then he put it down on the table, signed and he signed it.
Okay.
So it's like, at that moment. I don't have bad words to say about Brock, but it's just like, don't mess with him.
But like, also, you asked the guy for an autograph. What's really wrong with
that? I know.
It's like, it's not, I've signed a...
And that was, by the way, when he was fully in UFC, his first run. I'm done with wrestling. I'm a full-time UFC guy, pre-diverticulitis, the whole
thing.
Right,
I'm like in Minnesota training in this moment. I'm a person.
Yes.
I'm not like the beast incarnate.
Right. Right.
So what's the problem with signing it's Brock. Chair?
That's Brock. I love it, though. I mean, like, I love it, because like the idea that Brock Lesnar might be Brock Lesnar on TV and off TV.
Yes.
Like, that's exciting to
me. But that's what we love about wrestling. We love those characters that really... That's what Steve Austin always says about the Attitude Era, is like, that was the time when they could really embrace who they were, and they had the freedom to actually maybe have a segment they're supposed to do and be like, you know what, I'm actually going to go out there and be a little bit meaner and be a little bit more how I'm feeling.
Right. You got to do Steve Austin's podcast.
I would love to.
I bet he would have you on.
I would love that.
I got to do it and go to his house, and it was like... This is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Los Angeles or the Broken Skull Ranch?
No, I was there in Los Angeles, but I saw Hershey the Wonder Dog.
Oh my God.
The whole thing.
Did you do Unleashed or the regular?
Both.
Wow.
I was there for like 5 hours.
Wow.
Just talking about wrestling. It was the greatest thing I've ever done.
Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of UFC guys. I have not met a lot of WWE guys.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, so when you do Pitch Perfect 2, you're not a wrestling fan really at that point?
No.
So you don't know who Lana is?
Oh, well, no. I know CJ because CJ...
But you don't know her as, like, Lana. You just know CJ from...
I knew she was going to do the WWE. She was just starting.
But it wasn't, like, this awareness of, like, oh, yeah, Lana, like, I'm a fan of Rusev Lana.
No.
The whole deal. It was oh, yeah, CJ's going to do
CJ's
wrestling.
Doing a thing, and I think she started in, like, the independent stuff. So I think she was with Rusev.
Right.
I think they were always paired up, right?
Yeah, I think they were doing NXT.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was before I even really knew
But it's just funny, because, like, now, if you were going to film another Pitch Perfect, you would be aware of her. I mean, you knew her before.
Yeah.
But you'd also now be aware of her as Lana.
She was in the second one, and she was very much...
Lana.
Like, she had been all over the world, you could tell, because when we were all talking, she was just talking about, oh, I was in, you know, I was at the Garden last night, and we're doing this.
When you hear her accent on TV now, like, for those of us that haven't heard, I think it's going to change, because she's doing the Divas show.
Okay.
So she's going to be, I'm assuming, using her actual speaking voice. And I've spoken to her before, obviously.
Right.
But,
But she always spoke Russian. Like, she always was able to do that.
But, so the accent for you, it's not like, I know that's not what she sounds. It's like...
It's fine. She's playing a character.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
She's doing a good job. I think that Rusev is awesome.
He's the best. Because he's one of those, you know why we like him? He's like a bad guy from when we were kids.
Totally.
He's like...
Dum, dun, 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 dun.
I am stronger than America.
I mean, like, literally, you're like, this is an 80s wrestler. I love that they paired him with Roman Reigns. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Well, listen.
What do we think? Are we going to do a little, or can we talk a little bit about Roman?
Yeah.
Is that just a tired subject for wrestling fans?
What do you think of Roman Reigns? I mean, I think, because you know what? I had a guy on this podcast who's a friend of mine named Aubrey Sitterson.
Okay.
And it was the biggest debate. I don't get into a lot of debates on the wrestling podcast because it's just wrestling fans talking about wrestling and having a good time. But we got into such an argument because he was insisting that, like, Roman Reigns is super popular and everybody that says he's not is wrong. And and it was like...
Well, that's just delusional.
It felt delusional to me.
Yeah.
What do you think of Roman Reigns?
I feel bad for it all. Like, I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... It's just like Cena. I don't think we'll ever see a heel turn.
Which is upsetting. Cena, I'm okay with.
In the Attitude Era, he'd already be like in the Nation of Domination or something. You know what I mean? And starting
on
to
his
really
way
in,
to
starting to come into his own.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with all the Make-A-Wish and all the things that they do, they need that babyface.
Yeah.
And they're not going to turn him. I don't think. Right. That's pretty obvious at this point.
I would think not. I think that they've done a little bit better by him in the sense that he's not being so goofy and not being quite so nice.
Right.
Anymore.
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy.
Yeah, he's more like an ass kicker, which is what he should be.
He's not great on the mic. We all know, right?
No. But he's really good in the ring.
He's an amazing performer.
Yeah.
He puts it on the line.
Yeah.
He's had, like, I mean, just from a pure physicality standpoint, like, I just, it sucks to watch. I mean, like, I'm 29, and if I threw one spear right now, I feel like my sciatica would act up.
Right.
And I'm watching these guys, like, he's killing himself in the ring.
Every night.
Just boos. And the Yabu thing.
You heard my Yabu theory.
Yes. So the Yabu thing is something that I'm sure Cena used to get in the beginning before it was fully embraced.
Well, that's where I got, you heard me. That's where I first established the Yabu thing. It was when he returned.
Right.
And everybody goes, yeah, oh, wait, boo. And I'm like, that's not being legitimate.
No. That's like, that's bullying. That's like a bully mentality. Like, oh, right, we're supposed to boo this guy.
Right.
Screw him. And it's not fun booing. It's not heel booing. It's like we're booing him as a...
makes us feel better to put him down. Like,
yeah.
Boo you. We don't like you.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do with him. I know this sounds so superficial and silly, but, like, can we, like, change the look a bit?
I think... No. I don't think that's silly at all. I mean, I think that he definitely... I think he needs to change...
Maybe some jean cutoffs, a couple wristbands, orange and green. No.
Right.
But, like, well, what do you see? Like, what do you...
I think he's got to wear tights.
Yeah.
I think he's got to come out in tights. You know, he was doing, very early on, in the early NXT days, he was doing this gimmick where he wore tights and they had gold foil on him and he had a nice watch and he was like this obnoxious rich guy.
Oh, sure.
And, like, I feel like Roman in his heart... And, by the way, like, Roman is, like... I've met him a bunch of times. We've dined together.
Okay,
he's great. He's a super.
People say he's really nice,
really awesome, down to earth, cool guy. Like, I would hang out with that dude, 100%. I would hang out with him.
He's a hard worker, right?
But
okay,
he comes across. He is a very hard worker, but he comes across as the jock to all of us nerds watching wrestling.
Of course.
So I feel like if you put him in a pair of tights and embrace that sort of like, you're booing me because I'm better than you, but guess what? I'm better than you. Thing?
Yeah.
That's, but that involves a heel turn and that
involves okay,
but a lot
and
of
I
stuff
hear
that.
I
happen.
Hear that. So how do we split the difference? I mean, because you're not, it's not, it sucks to be noncommittal, but unfortunately we have to work within a limited Vince McMahon window.
Right.
Right? In our fantasy world that
right.
we're coming up with.
Right.
I've seen some like 24 like WrestleMania 31 things where like he's backstage drinking a Gatorade in like a white dry fit sleeveless tap out shirt or something like that.
Uh-huh.
What about like the like I came from the gym look?
Okay.
Or is that just like neither here nor there kind of a thing?
Because
where I want to start with this is like, what does Roman Reigns?
I think if we want to keep him in this space where he's like a good guy, then the attitude has to be, I don't take any shit, but I'm not taking it out on the fans. Like, he's got to be this guy that we know is never going to take shit from anybody, and we're scared of him, but he's on our side. Like, the people he doesn't take shit from are all villains.
Got it.
So, like, you get that essence of, you know, not the happy-go-lucky guy, but a guy who's like a football player, like he is.
A football player. But how do we also maybe ditch the whole, like the roars and the, maybe that's a little like
and
too
I,
tribal.
I think that they were making good moves when they stopped having him come out through the crowd.
Right,
if you notice, he doesn't fist bump with the crowd. I think he ignores the crowd. And so
does he still come out of the crowd?
Not anymore.
Okay, so he comes out of the ramp.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So no more of these oohs, because, like, you don't need to get, like, I don't care. Like, you know how UFC fighters ignore the audience because they have to? Because,
like, they're about to fight.
Right.
Yeah.
What if Roman ignored the audience because he was singularly focused on his opponent?
That's cool.
To kick that guy's ass, which means he's not a bad guy. Like, that's when you really start to get into not a good guy, not a bad guy thing.
Right. That's a little like Bret Hart-ish, although he was such a white knight, though.
He was, actually
so not true. Okay.
Yeah. Just like an ass kicker.
I'm just thinking wrestling style, maybe.
Who ignores the fans. But an ass kicker who's just there to beat the shit out of Rusev.
Maybe he needs a new freaking move, too. I like the spear.
Spear's good.
Maybe not the Superman punch now that AJ's got the forearm.
Yeah, maybe not the Superman
punch. Or maybe
like, you know what move I love that he does? I love the drop kick on the outside where he ends up sliding onto the apron.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's cool. But
I think that's awesome.
Is that a finisher, though? That's more
it's not
like
a finisher.
A mid-match kind of a...
I think he could use the spear as a finisher.
Yeah, spear's great.
Yeah.
It would just be great. It's just always great when you're like, what was that now? You know what I mean? It's just to keep reinventing yourself and or just keep evolving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just so stale, and it's not his fault. He doesn't write it, you know?
Yeah, of course. He's got to make the best of what he's got, but a lot of times it's not him. Do you do anything outside of WWE wrestling-wise?
What do you mean? Oh.
Like pay attention to anything outside of WWE wrestling?
I really enjoy, like, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I now he's on Impact, right? I think that's pretty cool.
You know what you got to do? Because you live in LA, right? Or do you live here?
PWG.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone says
Have you been there yet?
No, but I hear it's like the thing to
do. I've been to one show, and it's like, yeah, you got to do it.
Okay.
You got to do it.
That I'll do.
And it's tough to, like, you gotta do some research, figure out when tickets are going to go on sale.
Yeah, because it's not really, like, promoted or it's no, certainly and
it,
not
Well, it sells out in 5 minutes because it's in this tiny little room. And to my knowledge, everybody that's told me, maybe I don't know the right celebrity tracks.
Sure.
But they don't really do, like I couldn't go in and be like, hey, you know.
I'm Sam. Like, yeah, my publicist cool? call you. Sure. No.
Yeah, can I check out the show? They'd be like, yeah, did you buy a ticket?
That's very ECW.
Yes. Yes. So
is it a situation I've seen, like, you know, YouTube tape, but mm-hmm. like, is it get aggressive in the crowd a little bit?
Yeah, because there's no barriers at all. Like, you're literally like, you're close enough. If you're in the front row, you're close enough
you're
to the ring.
Get a wrestler to he's gonna.
I mean, if you like something, you're hitting the ring. Like, you're hitting the canvas, going like.
Oh my god!
Like, you know how a manager hits the canvas? That's what you're doing in the front row, and like the wrestlers go move, move, and if you don't move, they'll fall on top of you. There's no rope. There's
so it's
no railing.
Mosh pit esque.
A little bit, but everybody's cool.
Gives
and they
me a lot of anxiety.
It does.
A little bit.
It does.
Well, you can. Like, how do I come home to my wife that day? And I'm like, so I dislocated my elbow, and we can't go on that trip.
If it makes you feel better, I didn't get injured, and I'm slight of frame.
Okay.
So there's also like, and they do like people. Like it's just this bizarre world. Like, the wrestlers sell their shirts before the show, sitting on the ring apron, and they put the T-shirts on the ropes. So you walk around the ring buying T-shirts from these guys, but the beer line, it's also they just sell beer.
Right.
And you have to line up around the ring.
Yeah.
So, like, you're passing wrestlers, like, oh, no, hey, I'm just waiting for a beer.
Yeah.
And then what people generally do is they buy a pitcher because it's a long line and it's difficult to get to. So they buy a pitcher of beer,
right?
And they just drink the pitcher throughout the show.
Fantastic.
they love it.
That reminds me of, like, college.
Right, yeah, right, okay. Right. Everybody has a good time.
That sounds interesting. I mean, I'd definitely be down for that. I don't think you could call this outside of WWE, but NXT.
You do, but you like NXT.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Nakamura.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, next time I'm out in LA and there's a PWG show, I'm going to hit you up.
I might have to take you up on that.
You should. You should. I'm glad you came on.
Yeah, me too, man.
And I'm glad you listened to the show. It's very flattering.
I certainly do.
It's very nice. Is there anything you want to promote?
Sure. Well, yeah, I have a show that.
Yeah, Graves.
Yeah, I have Graves.
Not Corey Graves.
Not Corey Graves. But he's more than welcome on the show. I'm on a show where Nick Nolte plays a former president of the United States. In an existential drug-induced crisis. He's just on a ranch in Santa Fe, smoking weed, doing peyote, and righting all the wrongs of his administration. I'm supposed to be kind of his wrangler, his assistant, his wrestling manager, if you will.
Right.
I'm like the super babyface, idealistic guy, and he kind of corrupts me throughout the season. And I'd say it's kind of like a buddy comedy inside of a ensemble comedy inside of a political satirical comedy.
And it's Nick Nolte, and he's
Nick Nolte, and he's killing it. Like, he's just
We talked to Skyler and Nick Nolte on the Sirius show, Jim Norton and Sam Roberts, and it was just amazing. And after you left, like, I couldn't believe that Nick Nolte, like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
He's just him. Like, I started asking him about, like, the mugshot.
Oh, he loves that space.
Yeah, he's like...
Not only does he love the pit, he'll tell you all about... Did he tell you he was sleeping in his car and that's how they found him? Yeah, he's no shame.
No shame.
He's in that old prospector place of his life where he just loves telling war stories.
Like, we were pulling up pictures of him in, like, wearing his ponchos and weird pants out, like, in L.A. And he's like, oh, yeah, I dress for comfort.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I'm like, you're the man.
Yeah.
But that's on Epix.
Yes.
So everybody check that out. And
Sunday's starting October 16th at 10.
And where can they follow you on Twitter?
Skylar Astin.
There it is.
Just the name.
There it is. And hey, You get anything if they buy Pitch Perfect on iTunes?
No.
All right, so don't even bother.
I mean, like, you can. You'll make someone a lot of money.
If they make a Pitch Perfect 3, you got to get back end.
Yeah.
You got to.
Let's start banging the drum. What would you like to see Jesse do in the third movie?
I don't know.
Have a career aspiration as a WWE.
You should at least, like, when they do those, like, see if you can wrangle in when they do, like, the acapella off thing.
The riff off.
There should be some kind of wrestling.
Well, in the second one, we had the Packers, so maybe now we'll have, like, Shield.
How great would it be if you were like, what do you think of putting Seth Rollins into this movie? That'd like, what if Seth Rollins is an acapella guy?
I know we're wrapping up, but real quick, do you think they'll ever reunite the Shield in any capacity?
I do. I believe that it could be as soon as Survivor Series in November. I could easily see, because Dean Ambrose, he's starting to feel a little bad guy-ish.
Sure.
But I don't think he's going to go all the way bad guy.
Right.
Especially with John Cena leaving to go do his reality show.
Oh, okay.
That's happening.
Okay.
As far as I know. So,
it's very inside baseball that I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I could easily see, with Seth Rollins being a good guy, Roman Reigns is a good guy, Dean Ambrose is on SmackDown, but he's a good guy.
Right.
Survivor Series is going to be co-branded.
Sure.
So it's a Raw and SmackDown show, which means, at least for one night, you can put Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns on the same team.
Right.
And I could easily see that happening.
I would just love, I think it would give me chills, like maybe like the event before a pay-per-view. Just, I don't know, if it organically, like we really don't see it coming, and they just kind of all end up in the ring together, that slow look at each other, like, you guys remember what we used to do? Like,
right.
That to me would be cool.
Like, you got Rollins and Roman Reigns kind of looking at each other, like, and then all of a sudden, Ambrose comes out.
Sure.
And you're like, what are we
doing? Yeah, what are we doing? Here? And maybe, like, Ambrose comes out on Raw, and it's like you're not allowed, but it's there's something mystical about it. And maybe everyone, even like Stephanie and...
Like
everyone's like awed by it a little.
Right. Like imagine Jericho and Kevin Owens and maybe a couple other guys are beating up Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And then all of a sudden that and you're like, no. And then Ambrose comes to the ring and Mick Foley and Steph and Hunter are going like, what's going
just
on?
Awed by the whole thing.
Right.
I'm down for that.
I think it'd be cool.
It would really be cool if they were all holding. It's like there's that version, or it's all done during a promo, and no one's getting a beatdown. And I don't know. I don't know how to make it happen, but I aesthetically see them all holding belts, and maybe like Seth's got the Universal, Roman's got the U.S., Dean's got the heavyweight championship, and they're all just kind of. I have this like dreamlike fantasy where they all look at each other like. We've come a long way.
Like, it's been a long, winding road.
Yeah. It's time to, like, you know, put Batista through a table or something
right.
like that. I don't know. Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
But you haven't met a lot? Like, you haven't met Hunter or anything like that?
No.
Oh, you got to.
See, I would love to meet all the Attitude Era people. That, to me, I would love to meet The Rock. I would love to meet Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, Hunter.
You got to see if you can get in that Jumanji movie.
Look.
We're trying. Man. Well, I guess we could talk wrestling for hours.
You sure could, man.
But,
tune into part two.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I'll talk to you again.
Here is Sam Roberts.
I was so excited to have Skylar Astin on the podcast. It's always helpful when somebody's doing the show who's as enthusiastic about wrestling as Skylar is. He reminded me of my conversation with Dan Soder. And who knew Skylar Astin was at SummerSlam 91? That's one of those things, you know, it's like those shows that you got to go to as a kid. I'm always jealous of the people who got to go to amazing shows when they were growing up. As a matter of fact, why don't you tweet at Skylar Astin and tell him what the favorite show that you've ever been to was, just so he feels some love from the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast audience. For me, I mean, you know, it's hard to beat my first wrestling show being SummerSlam 92 in Wembley Stadium. But man, does SummerSlam 91, man, does that make me jealous. Look, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Of course Skylar Astin gets to go to whatever shows he wants to. He's got all kinds of money. He's a big Hollywood star. He's in movies. He's hanging out with Nick Nolte. Well, guess what? You can have money too. And you don't even have to do anything that you're ashamed of for it. Look, we've all taken extra jobs to earn a little extra cash. Even I do it from time to time. But I don't have to work in the movie theater anymore. I just saw a documentary that Morgan Spurlock did about rats, and I am paranoid about the field mice that I had to sweep up in the projection room. I don't have to do that anymore. You know why? Because there's a better way where people like me and people like you can earn extra money on the side. It's so much easier today thanks to Uber. That's right. Get that movie star money. Uber's the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another J-O-B, son. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on and off just like your car. If you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. Don't sit on your butt. If you're driving around, oh, I want to go for a drive. Guess what? You can make some money doing it by letting somebody get in the car with you and taking them where they want to go. Trust me, it's a good idea. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? I bet you'd make a great boss. You'd be a better boss than I am. Drive with Uber and you can be your own boss. If you're driving right now, you should be earning money right now. I do it, but I'm not driving. I'm recording this podcast in my house. Every day is a payday when you drive with Uber because you can cash out anytime with instant pay. With access to instant pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a month. No, a week. No, a day. Cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. That means you're driving around the afternoon. Say you got a hot date, right? But you can't afford to show this girl a good time. Guess what? Get somebody to jump in your car. You could do it an hour before the date. Drive around. Get them to jump in your car. Drop them off wherever they want to be. Hopefully it was a long trip because you can cash out. If you cash out and your date postpones and she goes, hey, can we meet in 2 hours? You can be like, hell yeah, we can meet in 2 hours. That's a great idea because you can get back in your car, pick up a couple more people, cash out again, and then you can take her to a really nice place because the more money you spend, the more likely it is that you're going. That doesn't matter. We're here to talk about Uber. If you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy or, you know, do, you can your car can start making you money. So you can pay for your car with your car. It's the craziest thing in the world. It's very meta. Go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now. I have a lot of opinions about what's going on in the world of pro wrestling right now. We've got an engagement that happened in the ring. We've got a little update on TNA. Just so much. I don't even talk about what's going on with TNA because I feel like the news changes every day and it makes me crazy. I have no idea which way is up and I don't think the company does. But we'll talk about that. And of course, Raw, Mick Foley on Twitter, the build-up to Hell in a Cell, SmackDown being a much better show. Let's start the state of wrestling right now.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
Here we are. It's the state of wrestling and so much going on. You know, I have to tell you, I'm in deep with this wrestling stuff. And this is not, I'm not getting paid for this. It's just, I don't know if it's really a plug. But I have friends that need to learn history of wrestling. And I have spent the last 2 days glued. When I'm on the train, I'm glued to whoever the guy is on the Squared Circle subreddit who's doing those Wrestling Observer recaps. I'm like, I just passed WrestleMania 9, so I'm behind a bunch. But I'm into April of 1993, and I'm just going issue by issue reading this dude's recaps. He goes on. He writes recaps of the Wrestling Observer every week. I think he started in like 1990 or 1991. And you get to see like what was going on back then. It's just so cool. And it's honestly, if I'm not all that entertained by what's going on wrestling TV at the moment, I read Wrestling Observer recaps from when I was a kid. They're the best. If anybody's on the Squared Circle subreddit, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if the guy is listening, and I hope he is, and if he's not, then I hope he doesn't get the message, because he should be listening. But if he is listening, then I appreciate all the work that you're putting into those things. The biggest story, of course, in wrestling right now is Goldberg returning to WWE. I'm surprised it happened as quickly as it did. Goldberg came back on Raw on Monday night. And let me tell you something. Goldberg loved the kids. Goldberg is for the kids. Taking those kids out of the front row and everything. Who knew? Who knew? He liked entertaining those kids so much, but more power to him. You talk about a white meat baby face. My God. Goldberg, surprised me, as I said, with how quickly he came out. I think the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match, it's funny. If you've watched wrestling the way I have, which is for 33 years nonstop, which I'm assuming is the norm, then you know that Goldberg-Brock Lesnar is an odd thing for fans to be this excited about. Goldberg-Brock Lesnar was one of the worst WrestleMania matches to have ever taken place. And let me tell you something. I've been reading these recaps. In hindsight, WrestleMania 9 was a real dud of a mania. But Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar was terrible. And I'll tell you, I was in the house for that match. I went to WrestleMania 20 at Madison Square Garden. That match, it was announced that Goldberg was leaving WWE. That was to be his last match. But then, right before WrestleMania, it was announced it was also going to be Brock Lesnar's last match. The guys were not in it at all. They had no enthusiasm about the match. And they got booed out of the building, and they didn't know how to deal with it. I watched them. To me, as a person in the audience, that is my memory of that match. Watching Goldberg and Brock Lesnar get booed mercilessly by the Madison Square Garden crowd, and them not knowing how to start their match. Steve Austin was the referee. Everything was thrown at that match that could be thrown at it, and it was one of the biggest duds in WrestleMania history. Now, we're living in a very different time. We're definitely not going to have a repeat of that, and I'll tell you why. Goldberg, look at his face. When he came out on Raw this week, he was almost crying at the fact that all the fans still remembered him. And, you know, no matter how big the egos are on these guys, when they're gone for a while and they come back and they get a positive response from the crowd, that's it. That's everything to them. That's why they come back. That's why they do this. You know, they could haggle about money all they want. They could say it's because of this. They could say it's because of that. But everybody except Brock Lesnar, that does a lot for them. Brock Lesnar doesn't care if you remember him or not. He just wants to get paid. But other than Brock Lesnar, guys like that mean a lot. Goldberg wants to put on a good match that his son can watch. Goldberg wants to put on a good match that his family can see. Because his family, they don't know WCW Goldberg the Streak. They know Bill, who's been retired from wrestling, but everybody comes up to him and says they love him. He wants to show them a good match. He's going to be motivated to do well. And Brock, I think, the fact that he's been able to make a career out of wrestling part-time and is still the most important, highest-paid, hottest talent on the roster has given him a new lease on life. I would think, but then you hear Dean Ambrose saying that Goldberg didn't do anything to put their match together. I would think, I mean, not Goldberg, Brock Lesnar. So maybe not. And, you know, if Brock doesn't put any work into this Goldberg match, then we're in trouble. Because Goldberg's been out for, what did he say, 12 years? He's not a ring general. And he never was a ring general. He wasn't a ring general when he was around. You know, he got rushed into the spotlight and he was, you know, he was Goldberg. He was the man, but he wasn't a ring general by any stretch of the imagination. So there is going to have to be work put into that match, but I think the work will be put into that match. I'm assuming, based on the pace that we're moving, that Paul Heyman comes out last week, Goldberg this week, Brock's next week, it's a Survivor Series match. That is your big match at Survivor Series, and they want to turn the Big Four into a Big Four again. They make Big Four, Big Four again. They want to make this an important set of pay-per-views. Survivor Series has not been an important show over the last few years. The fact that they're co-branding it and doing the whole thing, they want to make it a big deal again. And I think that that's why this match is heading into Survivor Series. Now, I think that they need to throw everything at this match. The first thing I saw when I saw Goldberg, when I saw Goldberg putting his son on his shoulder and his wife mugging for the camera, looking as happy as anybody's ever looked. I thought, that's great. That's perfect for a good guy. Brock Lesnar needs to go into that ring and needs to tell Bill Goldberg that he wants to destroy his son's dreams. Brock Lesnar needs to go into the ring and say that I want to murder you in front of your wife and your child. We've now been introduced to Goldberg as a family man. That's a weakness. Why do you think Spider-Man wears a mask? It's not so nobody attacks him. It's so nobody attacks Aunt May and Mary Jean. That's why he wears the mask. Goldberg took his Spider-Man mask off. We met his wife. We met his kid. Brock Lesnar needs to come out and needs to announce to the world that he plans on murdering Bill Goldberg in front of his wife and child. Who's not buying that pay-per-view? I am going to give WWE another $9.99 just for November. If I'm being promised that Brock Lesnar's intention is to murder with his bare hands a man in front of his wife and child. Ah, and does that give Bill Goldberg a reason to fight? He's like, now you're talking about my wife and kid? Because guess what, Brock Lesnar? Now I am going to murder you. It has to be a murderer's match. That, I think, would be amazing. That, leading in with that kind of personal stuff, because right now it's okay. Goldberg's the only person that's got an unavenged victory over Brock Lesnar. Okay, I can buy that. Now let's see Brock get mad about it. Goldberg came out and said he wants to kick ass. That should piss off Brock Lesnar. Let's see Brock get pissed about it. I'm excited to see it. And I'll tell you why. I think Michael Cole said that Bill Goldberg, I think it was Michael Cole, said that Bill Goldberg was the greatest WCW champion of all time. Bill Goldberg was not the greatest WCW champion of all time. That is an absurd statement. Absurd. Booker T, this might be controversial. Booker T is a better WCW champion than Bill Goldberg. Hulk Hogan is a better WCW champion than Bill Goldberg. I'm not even going to get into Ric Flair. That's obvious. Vader might have been a better WCW champion than Bill Goldberg. Sting wasn't a better WCW champion than Bill Goldberg. Come on. But I'll tell you exactly why they said that. They said that for the same reason. They said that because of what I said about Bill Goldberg last week here on this podcast. I believe wholeheartedly that the move to make The Undertaker's last match, I don't think we'll be able to predict it. His last WrestleMania match should be with John Cena. That's not this year. This year, Bill Goldberg will get the Undertaker match. I don't know whether or not he'll beat Brock Lesnar. That I haven't really put my thumb on. I don't know which way I would go with that. But Brock Lesnar, win or lose, will move on from Bill Goldberg after this. So maybe he wins just so he can move on. But Bill Goldberg is going to get established as one of, if not the greatest WCW champions of all time. Why? Because he needs to be treated as a WCW icon. Why? Because WCW's true icon, Sting, can never wrestle again. So that means that The Undertaker and Sting will never have their match. So that means you need a new icon to take Sting's place to wrestle the WWE's icon of The Undertaker at WrestleMania. You've got it. It's Bill Goldberg. There's your match. That's why he's being called the greatest WCW champion of all time. It's not some flub. It's not that somebody forgot who's held the WCW title. It's because the groundwork is being set for Bill Goldberg to be labeled as the icon of WCW. WCW has arguably built two stars. Three if you count DDP. Two megastars, though. Sting and Bill Goldberg. Those are the two megastars that WCW built. WCW, and go ahead and call me out, Ric Flair was built by the NWA, and he had an amazing WWF run in 1992. WCW didn't build Ric Flair, NWA did. The Horsemen did. And you could say that, you know, you could go through it with a fine-tooth comb, you could make that argument, and I might let you have it. But nobody else. That's who was built. Who else you got in WCW? Hogan, Nash, Hall. Macho. You know what I mean? Maybe Vader, but he wasn't around that long. He wasn't around that long. Those are the two stars WCW built. Sting, Bill Goldberg. That's who Undertaker's opponent is going to be at WrestleMania. Bill Goldberg. It's going to be great, too. That's going to be an amazing thing to see. Bill Goldberg versus Undertaker. That's a match you never thought you would see, right? Right? And that's what they need for WrestleMania. So that's where I think that the Goldberg thing is going. I think he'll probably lose to Brock Lesnar because they need to get that behind him. But he'll get a standing ovation after his match, take a couple months off, and then right around Royal Rumble time, maybe even after, remind everybody he's the icon of WCW. Give him his Undertaker match. Put him in the Hall of Fame next year. Boom! Put him in the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania 34. Give him the Undertaker at WrestleMania 33. There you go. I certainly don't want to see a Triple H-Bill Goldberg match. I want to see a Triple H-Seth Rollins match at WrestleMania. Speaking of Seth Rollins, this is where you know there's a problem in WWE. Specifically, Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins is the best all-around professional wrestler that the WWE has had in years. Seth Rollins is the best candidate to be a mainstream star in a post-John Cena world. Boner picks aside, he has what it takes. He's the guy that's going to get people talking. He's the guy that's going to get people to tune in and watch what's happening on Raw. His match styles, his look, his mainstream appeal, his promo. Seth Rollins is the guy. You know who's potentially the most entertaining person on Monday Night Raw? Kevin Owens. And he backs it up in the ring. So tell me this. You've got a Hell in a Cell match between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens for the Universal title. And it's flat. It is falling flat. And it's a shame. Because you've got all the talent you need. The lineup looks great, but it's falling flat. Because they're not really telling a story. And I'll tell you why. This is where audibles have to be called. Honestly, at this point, the main event for Hell in a Cell needs to be a triple threat match, and then Seth Rollins needs to be out of the title picture. Jericho, Kevin Owens, as I've been saying from the beginning, needs to be a universal title program, and it needs to happen right now. And guess what? Jericho needs to be the good guy, not Kevin Owens. Jericho is the most cheered wrestler on the roster. Behind maybe his feud with Shawn Michaels, this is the best work Jericho's ever done. And let me tell you something. I am biased against Chris Jericho. He blocked me on Twitter for no reason. And I'm still saying this is the second best, if not best, work of his career he's ever done. There's no getting around it. You've got to call an audible. You didn't call an audible with Roman Reigns, and it was a mistake. Seth Rollins should have come back a babyface, good guy, however you say it. And Roman Reigns should have become a bad guy after Rollins' injury. You missed the opportunity. You can't take it now because Chris Jericho is the most popular guy on the roster, period. You need a List of Jericho t-shirt. And look, Chris Jericho's character is not going to work half as well as a good guy. That's true. But he's not going to be around that long. He's not going to be around that long. He should be used to make whoever he's with look better. And right now, Kevin Owens does not look better next to Chris Jericho. You got to call an audible. I get where you were going, but it's moving too quickly. People like Chris Jericho too much. And Kevin Owens looks like a bystander next to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho looks like the star. Because what he's doing is too funny. It's too entertaining. And he can still go in the ring. So you're not really left with much of a choice. That's what you have to do. I love the idea of a Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match. They're my two favorite men wrestlers. Those are my favorite boy wrestlers. But now is not the time. It's got to be a triple threat match at Hell in a Cell. Chris Jericho has to win the triple threat on Raw next week. He's got to be put into that Hell in a Cell match. and Seth and Kevin Owens has to win. Maybe Jericho gets a finish on Seth and Kevin Owens pins him. Maybe Kevin Owens rolls up Jericho. Something has to happen where Jericho and Owens need to split now. And Jericho needs to be a good guy chasing Kevin Owens' Universal title. This is how you do it. Jericho and Kevin Owens have to split, but they end up on the same team at Survivor Series. Then, I'd say push it one pay-per-view further and make the match happen at Royal Rumble. Maybe you can't, but I would say push it one further. Jericho and Kevin Owens is my pick to headline Royal Rumble as the Universal title match. But I think it's what has to be done. I think the story of Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho is your biggest shot at a compelling Raw storyline. And by the way, get the Authority, Stephanie, Hunter, out of it. For now, bring them back after the Rumble. End the Jericho Owens story at the Rumble, then bring them back. But right now, there's nothing on TV more compelling than what's going on between Jericho and Kevin Owens. And that leaves no room for an opponent, which is why you've got to split them up. You have to. There's no other way around it. I think, you know, poor Mick Foley. I get why he doesn't want to be on social media anymore. If a wrestler or a celebrity or anybody who you have any reverence for sends you a direct message and gives you the time of day to chat with them, don't post photos of the conversation publicly. Like, what's your problem with that? I'm blessed enough to know Mick Foley, who's a great guy, but If I were 15, 16 years old and Mick Foley started DMing me to talk about what our opinions were of Monday Night Raw, I'd be on cloud 9. That's when you should start building a relationship. But instead, what do?
Oh, look, internet. Look at this. Look, I talked to Mick Foley.
Well, guess what's the last time you're going to talk to anybody? Anybody. Because you can't keep your mouth shut. Stop biting me, Lila. That's the dog. So it was a bummer. Stop it. That fan did that. And Mick said on Facebook earlier this week that Sasha Banks versus Charlotte was going to headline Hell in a Cell as the match. That Hell in a Cell match was going to headline the pay-per-view. And he's then gone back to say it might not be the last match on the show. I don't think it should be the last match on the show. They have not done a good job. I'm still saying they haven't done a good job of building that story. I'm so glad that Sasha and Charlotte are getting their moment. But the story between Nikki Bella and Carmella on SmackDown, watching Alexa Bliss work toward getting her title match against Becky Lynch, those female-oriented stories on SmackDown are both more compelling than the story between Charlotte and Sasha Banks. Charlotte and Sasha have the opportunity to do a match that will steal the show. However, in order to truly steal a show, there has to be emotion put into a match. And it's not enough emotion to just say, hey, it's historic. Because it's not historic if it hasn't happened yet. History is written afterwards. You can't write history before it happened. And that's what's going on with the Charlotte-Sasha match. They're just trying to make... It's a two-woman division on Monday Night Raw right now. I mean, did you see the Bayley-Dana Brooke match? It was insane. Bayley gets hit on the ring post. And that's it? She's out for the match? Like, that's crazy. Bayley has had arguably... You could argue that Bayley's had Sasha Banks' best match. You could argue that Charlotte has as well. But the TakeOver Brooklyn match between Bayley and Sasha Banks, I still haven't gotten over. So hit her head on a ring post and she gets pinned by Dana Brooke for no apparent reason? Like, come on. It's a two-woman division on Monday Night Raw right now. Everybody knows Sasha Banks is my favorite wrestler. Not my favorite boy wrestler because she's a girl. My favorite wrestler in general. I'm a Sasha Banks fan and I have been for a long, long time. Ever since I was yelling, she isn't Ratchet, okay? NXT people. But when Charlotte and Sasha were feuding in NXT, there was a Batman versus Joker-like story going on. It was a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn-type story happening between Charlotte and Sasha Banks, and that story hasn't been told on Raw. And it's not fair, I don't think, to Charlotte and Sasha that that story hasn't been told on Raw. You know, you've had interviews about how much it means to them and how important it is and how much they both want to win, but why each other? First of all, why, really why, did Sasha Banks challenge a challenger for her title? Why did she make that challenge? Really? She's the champion. She shouldn't be making any challenges. And why isn't Charlotte making fun of her for making that challenge? Sasha, you're the champion. And you decide then this is your bright idea? Oh, am I going to make you pay? But, you know, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But why isn't any of that? I haven't heard it. I think that this match deserves a better story than what's being told on television right now. And I think it can get one. Not in a week, I don't think, unfortunately. But that's my problem with that. I love Charlotte and Sasha. I love the match. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. But I just think it could be so much better with a deep story being told. You know, I thought, like the story on SmackDown right now between AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose has actually got me interested. And I'm not interested in a Dean Ambrose-AJ Styles match, to be quite frank. But the inclusion of what they're doing with James Ellsworth, getting that t-shirt out there, and some of that dough, James, I see you. Don't forget whose podcast you did first, son. You know what I'm talking about. I'm interested. And the way a story is told, SmackDown's doing everything right with storytelling. The way stories are told over the course of the show and then interspersed with other stories. The story's told over the course of the show and then while the show is happening, there's various other stories also happening, is the way a wrestling show should be made. The reason SmackDown feels quicker than Raw is not because it's an hour shorter. It's because the stories are told better. I mean, it doesn't hurt that it's an hour shorter. It's going to make anything feel shorter. But stories are just not being told properly on Raw right now. You know, they have the matches. They have the talent. They're just not doing a good job storytelling. And SmackDown stories are awesome. SmackDown's doing a great job telling stories. Here's the thing. Raw has the better roster, and SmackDown has the better storytelling. And you know what's winning out? SmackDown. Because wrestling is about storytelling. It always will be. I've been saying it from the beginning. It's not five-star matches. It's storytelling. You can, and by the way, a four-star match becomes a five-star match if there's a great story being told. That's what wrestling is all about, storytelling. You know, and SmackDown, like, it feels like they're just throwing the kitchen sink at you. The fact that the Spirit Squad is legit on SmackDown now, it's hilarious. I love it. Of all the garbage that Kenny from the Spirit Squad has talked about John Cena on internet interviews, and now he's back on the brand that John Cena's on, that proves to you that anything can happen and that maybe John Cena's not the devil that he's been portrayed by some on the internet, because he certainly hasn't squashed that yet. But, you know, I'm interested in it. I'm interested in it, and that goes a long way. I'm interested in what's going on with TNA. So, Billy Corgan, first it was reported, definitely done, definitely happening. WWE bought the tape library, and Billy Corgan bought TNA. And I was like, I don't think that's true. And it wasn't true. But Billy Corgan instead filed a lawsuit against TNA because they're not paying him. And now there's creditors going after TNA. I mean, TNA is in rough shape. But apparently what's happened here is that the Fight Network, or their parent company, who funded the last two sets of TNA TV taping, is going to fund TNA to offset the debts of Billy Corgan. So they're going to pay, and I don't know if the Fight Network is looking to own TNA now. I don't know what it is. I hope somebody buys that damn company. I don't understand what's going on with it. I hope somebody buys the company. Dixie Carter steps away for a while. Billy Corgan gets put in charge of creative. And we get to do something fun with talented guys. Because TNA's got the potential to do that. And I think it could be really good. But it hasn't happened yet. And I don't know. It's either going to blow up completely or something's going to happen at the last minute. I should. And by the way, for somebody like Goldberg to be all about the kids so much, I should mention the fact that he was cursing the entire way to the ring. How great was that? They had to bleep out the audio. Before I move on completely from Raw 2, very worried that Sami Zayn is about to become a jobber. He's definitely going to lose to Braun Strowman in this feud. And I, for the life of me, have no idea why he's on Raw. Don't know why he was drafted to Raw. You could have separated Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. He would have been a star on SmackDown, but who knows? I'll talk about that more next week, maybe, because wedding bells are in the air. Paige, get this. Paige proposed to Alberto Del Rio in the middle of the ring in Puerto Rico. This is not a wrestling gimmick. Paige was not on the show. She's still in WWE. She's just suspended again. But she proposed to Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio said yes. I'm happy for them. I hope they're just not getting themselves carried away. Alberto Del Rio's wife actually piped in and said, well, it's all well and good that they're engaged, but I'm still married to him. All right, relax. You know, let the divorce proceedings happen. It's over between you guys. Let's not. I hate when you can't, like, when one partner or the other doesn't just let it go, and I don't know their relationship, so I can't judge, but just let it go, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm glad to see Paige and Alberto Del Rio are happy. I just hope Paige understands what she's doing. It seems like she's doing everything in her power, and this has nothing to do with the engagement, but it does have to do with her relationship with Alberto. It seems like Paige is doing everything in her power to get fired from WWE. You know, even in the TMZ interview she did, she didn't really say anything, but what she said was, they said, well, you're coming back to WWE, and she's like, well, yeah, I have to. You know what I mean? She's trying to, she wants to be fired from WWE. And she's young, and she'll be able to come back and everything. But she's got to understand, if she gets her attitude right, I really think WWE has the potential to continue to turn her into a massive star, to give up the total divas thing. Maybe she doesn't want to be a star. Maybe she doesn't want to, she doesn't need to make that kind of money. Maybe she's just happy doing smaller wrestling shows. I don't know, but in my mind, I want to take things to the limit. I want to be as successful as humanly possible. And maybe when you win the Divas title early, maybe when you've already had your WrestleMania, maybe those goals start to dry up. I don't know. Something happened with AJ Lee that she lost her love for wrestling. Maybe something happens. But from an outsider's perspective, I hope that Paige is looking at the forest and not the trees. And sees that, you know, the WWE thing is not that bad from an outsider's perspective, but I'm an outsider, so who knows? Who knows? I want to thank everybody for listening this week. It's been fun. I also want to tell you to get your side hustle on, your side hustle loyalty and respect on. Sign up to Drive with Uber and earn extra cash whenever you want. It's totally flexible. You are your own boss, and you can cash out up to 5 times a day. No minimum amount required. Sign up today at uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. Continue to check notsam.com for everything that you need from the world of Sam Roberts and Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as the Not Sam YouTube channel and the Jim and Sam Show YouTube channel. We'll be back next week with another Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. A goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter,
Instagram,
Facebook,
and YouTube.
And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.